better.
Okay, here we go. We are live.
I took my flour out, and I needed 4 cups, and I only had less than 2.
Oh, no.
I thought, okay.
All right, here we go.
Flour around, so I said, I'll use my red flour. It's lighter.
Okay, yeah, that'll work. Okay, well, I guess we're live here.
You are. I'm going to just zoom in just a little bit here.
We'll get us on here.
There you go. You're live.
She's actually talking about something. She made banana bread for someone. You're talking about right along with the lesson, actually. So, okay. All right. So let's welcome to the last class of Falls International Baptist Institute Christian Womanhood. This is class 11 for us. The men are on class 12, but we're just going to do 11 classes. Next week, there will be, for those who are taking the class for credit, there will be a test. And the test will just, I will send a study sheet for that. It will be very simple. I really just want to see what you've learned and kind of, I'll give you a study sheet so that you can make sure that you're kind of brushing up on things from the notes and all. So anyway, we'll start though with a word of prayer and get into the class here. So, all right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word, and thank you for the lessons that you teach us, and just for the good study that this study of Titus chapter 2 has been for me and the things I've learned and the application for my life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as I teach, Lord, that the ladies would get some things that they can apply in their own life, that it would be clear. Help me as I teach tonight. May everything that's said be pleasing to you and bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, may this be something that would challenge us. I think there's a lot of room for growth in all of our lives in this area. And so help me, Lord, as I teach tonight to bring that across. And we'll thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so again, we're looking at Titus chapter 2, and we're looking at 3 through 5. You do, and my husband laid it over here. Excuse me? I'm like, we printed one. Where'd it go? That should be it. So I'm back. Sorry, ladies. We have notes here, and I didn't pass it out. Anyway, so we're going to get started with this, looking at to be good. So let's just read again this scripture, starting with the aged women likewise. I do want to just comment. I think I mentioned this at the beginning. Someone commented about it again today. And remember, when it says the aged women likewise, whenever it says likewise, you can take everything that's already been spoken. So what was told to the men also applies likewise to the women. But we didn't deal a lot. I did just quickly take a little bit of time to talk about the older women who are teaching this, the aged women. That they should be in certain behavior and the behavior that they should be in. But we didn't deal a lot with that. I wanted to just get into these 8 things. And again, that's something I said, that if you're going to be taking the test, I'd like you to be able to list the 8 things that the aged women were to teach the younger women. And I'll just give just a quick preview before the notes come, that what I would like you to be able to do is take maybe not all 8. I may be a little easier than that, but take probably at least 5 of these and tell me what it means when they're to teach them to do this. Give me some things that you learned in the class and what you believe the Bible teaches on this. Because if we're going to be able to teach it to others, then we got to understand it and know it ourselves. So what better way to put it to memory than to give a test on it where you have to do it for a grade? No, okay. All right, so let's read the scripture here. Titus chapter 2, 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be, and here's the list of 8 things, sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And there's your reason for why the older women are teaching the younger women these things. The one we're on right now is good, to be, so the to be discreet, to be chaste, to be good. That's the one we skipped, and we went to obedient to their own husbands. They just kind of connected better, and I came back to good. I didn't do this on purpose, ending with good, but I think it's a good place to end. Just especially you'll see as we get into it, it gives us something to go out and really practice. So as we start here, the older women were to teach the younger to be good. So I want to talk about good, what it means, and then get into some different Bible verses that use that. There are so many. If you look, just take all the Bible verses that have the word good in it, and it's amazing, all the verses. There's no way I could cover even all the ones that talk about good in the same aspect that we're going to deal with it. But hopefully I'll give you some food for thought, and I'm sure you'll be able to take this study further. I do want to finish the lesson tonight with one last word, and I'm not going to deal with it a lot. I mentioned that, but I might combine two, and that's the word faithful. So we'll get to it at the very end. I just want to comment. But so good. It's funny, when you look up the word good, it actually uses the word good in the definition. Whenever they do that, that's really hard. Even when I went to the Greek and to the word that the Greek had, I was thinking, you know, I want to see exactly what that said, because some people were saying kind, and I believe that's part of the definition. But they had it there too, good. It means good. So having qualities which God's law requires, virtuous, pious, not wicked and evil, so as opposed to wicked and evil. So good, when we talk about someone being good, we're saying they're not a sinner. They're not living in sin. You know, they're not doing bad things. They are good. They're not bad. They're not evil and wicked. They're good. So that would be the first way that we would use this. Morally honorable or pleasing to God. We might use some of the words that go with that would be just, righteous, virtuous. So similar with that. When we talked about morally honorable too, we dealt with the word chaste, and that had to do a lot with that. So as I look at this, I'm not going to take as much time to talk about that aspect of the definition. I will comment to it, but I think from all these other character traits and lessons that we've had, I think we know that the women are not supposed to be wicked. They're not supposed to be living in sin and just doing all these things that would be the opposite of good. So I'm not going to deal with that. I want to deal with a completely different aspect of it. So let's keep going with the definitions. The third one I have here, that which is good in its character and constitution and is beneficial in its effect. So when we look at this, we're talking about good being the character of something, but then not just the character, it's good inside, and that makes its effect good as well. Another definition is kind, benevolent, thoughtful, pleasant, generous. When you look at the definition for the word good in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, normally they're kind of a lengthy definition anyway. When I did this, there was like almost an entire page, and the book is big, of just definitions for good. You might say this ground is good ground to plant something in. You might say you did a good job, or you say this is a good man, and every aspect of the definition means something a little bit different. And there's so many ways we use the word good. You know, they say, you know, you might say, I brought you some banana bread, and I'll say, good. There's just so many different ways to use it. So we're going to be looking at specific aspects, as we could take it and say a woman is a good woman. That's kind of the way I want to use it. So I would say next, kind, benevolent, thoughtful, pleasant, generous. Those are some of the words we're really going to use tonight to describe good and to describe a woman. I also thought of a Bible verse, and I had to put it down here as part of the definition because God's telling us what is good. Micah 6:8, it's one of my favorite verses. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So that's a good verse. That God says, if you want to know what's good, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. So there's a Bible verse that kind of just, to me, defines good from God's point of view. So I think these are certainly not exhaustive, and you could do more of a study on your own. So I believe, again, that being good is first an inward character quality, which then manifests itself in good works. And we're going to see that as we look at some of the Bible verses, so I don't want to say a lot about that, but just everything we've looked at, you know, a lot of times we focus on the outward and on the actions. But we need to remember that everything starts with the heart and then works its way out of the heart. So some obvious conclusions on what it means to be good. These are just things that I think we all know. You cannot be good without being saved. And I know we have a lot of people listening. I talked about this in our very first lesson, and there's some people listening that I don't really know you. But so I want to comment to this. You can't truly be good. There are a lot of people that do good things, but we cannot be good in and of ourselves, and we can never be good enough to please God, because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags to God. So we need to remember that no woman is good outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must be saved. We cannot be good in ourselves. We are inherently evil. Now, a lot of people say, well, man is basically good, and no, we're not. The Bible says all have sinned, and he says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we're not until we have repentance, until God works that repentance in our heart and we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not good. Once we do that, once we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary, he makes us a new creature. And he makes us good in God's eyes, and he gives us the ability to be good in our actions. And so just like we cannot be saved in our own power, we can't be good in our own power even after we're saved. A lot of times we forget that. It's kind of like dieting, you know, we say, I'm going to do this, and then we mess up right away. Sometimes if I say I'm not going to eat this, maybe it's bad for me, too much sugar or something, immediately there's something in me that craves that. You know, if you fast for a day or something, it seems like everything about food stands out to you that day. And it's the same way with being good in and of ourselves. Our flesh is against that. We can't be good without God's help, without walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only way we can be a good woman, a truly good woman, is by God first doing a work in our heart and making us good in our heart, and then walking with the Spirit every day. And as we walk in the Spirit, those works of the Spirit, instead of the works of the flesh, those works of the Spirit will be worked in our heart by the Holy Spirit as we study the Word of God, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, and we'll become a good woman. Just think of those. I can't list all of them. I wish I could, but the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, all those things, he works in our heart, and that helps us to be good. So we can't be good in and of ourselves. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if there's not been a time where you realize that you are a lost sinner on your way to hell, and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're trusting in your effort to be good, you need to be saved, and you need to speak to someone today. Send me a message or something, and let me know that you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to make you a new creature in Christ. So I'm going to move on with that, but please, that's the most important thing. You can try to live, and all of us could try to live all these things, but it would be totally in vain. Even if we could, in our own effort, accomplish the better than anybody else has ever done, it would still be useless, because we cannot be good enough to go to God's heaven. So I don't want to say any more about that, but that's one obvious conclusion. You can't be good without first being saved, and then by walking in the Spirit. You cannot be good if you're living in sin. No one is going to say, a woman who is in direct opposition to the things we've studied and other things in the Word of God, they're not going to say, that's a good woman. You know, some woman that doesn't love her children, like the Bible says to love her children, or doesn't love her husband, or is unsubmissive to the authority God's placed in her life, or someone who has a mouth that is speaking things that are not sober, she's not chaste and modest, she's not a good woman. That's all part of being good. But it doesn't go as far as I want to go. So if you're not all of those things, you're not good. Listen to this, some of these verses. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know to do good, some of these things that I've taught on, I'm not talking about trying and failing. I'm talking about just saying, no, that's not for me. I'm not doing it. Because I'm going to get to that. We're not perfect. But you maybe have turned your back on it and said, that's too old-fashioned, or I'm just not doing that. Well, then the Bible says that's sin, and that's not good, and you cannot be classified as a good woman if you're not living according to the Word of God. Also, Luke 6:45, the last part of the verse, and for sake of time and space, I just took parts of these verses, a few of these. It says, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. God says what's in the heart comes out. You know, when you go to a well, if you get bad water, you can automatically assume that well is bad. When you bring the water out of the well, you're getting what was down in the well. And it's the same with us. A good woman will bring forth good treasure. But a wicked woman, an evil woman, someone who is not good in her heart, the Bible says he'll bring evil out of the evil treasure. He'll bring evil out of his heart. And the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I would say out of the abundance of the heart, a woman acts. Sometimes we don't realize what's in our heart until we do certain actions, and God shows us, wow, you know, when we get angry and we realize there's anger in there, we have to let God cleanse us and get rid of that. Think about this. When we look at a child and we say, you've been bad today. What do we mean? They've been disobeying all day long. They're not doing what we want them to do. So in that same sense, you're a bad woman. You've been bad. If you're not doing what God wants of a godly woman, you're not a good woman. So this is just obvious conclusions. These are things I think we all know, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I also want to say, and I mentioned this earlier, good does not mean perfect. No one is perfect. But a godly woman has a genuine desire to please the Lord in all that she does, both in private and in public. She is genuine. In other words, she's not someone. It's kind of like the child. I saw some challenge people were doing today where they ask the child to sit and not take any candy until the mom comes back. She says, I got to go to the bathroom, I'll be back. And the child's sitting there with the candy, and you find out just how well your child will obey. And you say, you can have the candy if you wait, don't touch it till I get back. Some of the children were well trained and they did not touch it, even though the mother took 3 or 4 minutes. And I'm talking 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds. That was pretty good. I was impressed. But, you know, it's easy for us, too. We can be on our best behavior for a little while. Have you ever caught yourself, you know, maybe, you know, you've been frustrated with your kids and you raise your voice or you're being scolding them very harshly. Not that that is never appropriate to scold them, but the phone rings and hello. And you just, you know what, we need to be careful that that's not how we are, that our kids see one woman at home and everybody else sees somebody different out in public because we're putting on our best side. And obviously, if we're having a bad day, the place it normally comes out is in the home because we're more relaxed, but we should be the same in the home and out of the home. And again, I want to say this because I know a lady and I love her dearly, but she said, well, I've already blew it, so I might as well just continue, you know? No, that's not the way we're supposed to be, ladies. When we realize we've messed up, we start to say some things we shouldn't say. We should stop immediately as soon as we realize it and ask the Lord to forgive us and to help us, apologize to those around us. That's what a godly woman does. And then step up and do the right thing. And that requires humility, but we need to do that. So, that's what I said here. If she fails, she will humbly ask for forgiveness. So let's look at a few verses here. A good woman will have good works. I believe that is the direction I'm going to go with this when it says teaching the women to be good. That's just what came to my mind with everything else we've studied. I think that God wants us to be good, and out of that good, true goodness in our heart, we are good to people. And that's what I want to deal with. There may be more to it. And if I'm not covering it all, I did my best to study today, but this is really a need, I think. A lot of times we know we don't get saved by good works, but a lot of times we forget good works have their place. And a lot of times as Christian women, I wonder, where are our good works? And listen to some of these verses. The rest of that verse I read earlier, the beginning of it said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. It's natural for a good woman to be kind and generous. She's going to bring out of that good treasure that's already in her heart. Good works do not make one good, but a good woman will have good works. Listen to these verses. When we were talking about modesty in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 10, I'm not going to read it all about modesty, but when it talked about she should wear modest apparel, it said, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. God just assumes that we as women are going to have good works. We're to be known by that. Titus 2, the same scripture we're in right now, verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. God wants us to be a pattern that others can follow. If you've ever sown, you have a pattern and you cut your material out of that pattern. And God wants us to be a pattern that other people can follow and can say, as Paul said, do as I do pretty much. Follow me as I follow Christ. And really, that's a big statement. I really would rather say follow Christ, but there are people who are going to follow us, and we need to make sure we're a good pattern so that when they follow us, they are following Christ, because they may follow us off a cliff if we're not doing right, and we don't want that. Ephesians 2:10, listen to these verses. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible just finished saying, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on and says, we're his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's the purpose he created us for. And that we were ordained that we should walk in those good works. God ordained that. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you getting the idea? God wants us to have good works. A good woman will have good works. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So God's saying here, we're to do good to all men, but especially those that are part of the believers. They're part of the household of faith. They're part of the church. And we should do good to the world, definitely. But the Bible says we're known by our love one toward another. Well, how do we show that love? You know, we should be showing it in our actions and in our works toward each other. So he says, especially toward the household of faith. So let's look at some biblical examples of good women with good works. this lesson, I just want to read. I just want to point out each of these women as we go. I just took portions. I didn't go through and write the whole scripture out, and I'm not going to have us turn because I know how my time goes. So we're just going to take our time going through these. But let's, Martha, in Luke 10, 38, and I took just part of that and part of verse 40, it says, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She received Jesus into her house. We look at Martha, and we talked about her before and how she was cumbered about much serving. But let's not focus on the cumbered part. Martha was cumbered about much serving. What was she doing? She was serving. She was making a meal. She invited Jesus into her house. He knew whenever he went by Mary and Martha's, there was going to be an open door and food ready for him. Martha was going to take care of him. She's a woman with good works. Yes, she had some issues, and God put his finger on those and pointed out some things that she needed to correct. But serving is a good thing, and we need to be serving. That's a good work. I want to look at these women and just get portions of their life and look at how they showed their good works and how they showed their love for the Lord. How about Mary? I thought of her worship in Mark 14, 3 and 6. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And remember, the people got angry about that, and they were arguing and saying, she's done this waste. This has been such a waste. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. It's a good work to give to the Lord. It's a good work to worship the Lord. And that's something we as women ought to be known for, our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good work. How about Dorcas in Acts 9? 36 and 39. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. So this, she didn't just have a few good works, she was full of them. And remember, she died and everyone was crying. They were going to, people loved her because she was such a giving person. And Peter, the Bible says, arose and went to them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. She was full of good works. People that were in need, these widows and these children who didn't have a father, they had needs, and she saw a need and she filled that need. She made coats and garments for them. Maybe she did other things too. You know, I don't know what her status was in life. Was she a widow too? We don't see her family saying anything here. Maybe she was a widow as well, but maybe she was left with some means and ability to money to spend, but she used it to help others, to help needy and the poor. It makes me think, I didn't go there because I stuck with New Testament examples, but Proverbs 31, that woman, the Bible said she reached out her hand to the poor. And those are good works. How about Lydia? Remember after Lydia got saved in Acts 16 and 15, she said, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. As soon as she gets saved, and she has obviously had a little bit of time to give proof that she's a faithful, going to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, she opens her home in hospitality to the Apostle Paul and the men that were with him. How about Peter's mother-in-law? Remember her when she was sick of a fever and Jesus came in and healed her? What did she do first thing after she was healed? The Bible says, and he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Notice these women that we see that are godly ladies for our examples. We see, she ministers immediately. You know, I was thinking about this. You would think she'd need to recover a little. She's just been sick. But when the Lord heals, you get your energy back right away too, I'm sure. Whoops, I'm turning a little too soon. Then how about giving? There's a ministry in Luke 8:3. This is just women that weren't named, but it said, this is talking about Jesus and his ministry. It said, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. So these women had money. They had means, they had wealth, and they used their wealth to minister unto the Lord Jesus. Maybe they helped buy things for him. I don't know what they did, but they used their money. And sometimes I think it's good that God doesn't tell us exactly what they did, because we all, our good works don't need to be an exact replica of what someone else is doing. We shouldn't be copycats saying, well, this is what she does, I'll do it too. I mean, that may be a good place to start if you don't know where to start, but ask the Lord to show you what you can do. How about Romans 16:1? There's a lady named Phoebe, and I want to turn over there because there's another one I didn't put here that I want to comment about. But Phoebe, the Bible says, Paul said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Kentria. that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many." And when I look at that, that's a helper. That's someone assisting. So she helped and assisted in the ministry. I don't know, maybe teaching. With the women or children. I don't know how she helped, but there was a place for the women to help, and she helped in the ministry. Then how about Mary and the other women in Acts? I keep saying Acts. That should be Romans there. I did that all afternoon, and I forgot to correct that. Romans 16:6, he said to greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And again, in Philippians 4, he said about women who labored with me in the gospel. So there were women who helped Paul in the gospel. They were full of good works, finding a place that they could fill, finding a need, and using the gifts and the abilities and the resources that God gave them and filling those places. I wanted to point out, as I look at Romans 16, another one, I just want to remember Priscilla and Aquila. God says that she was a helper with her husband in Christ, but he said, "Who have for my life laid down their own necks." She actually risked, Priscilla risked her own life. She's one I didn't put here, but I just remembered that, and I wanted to say that. She was willing to risk her life for the ministry and to help Paul. What a good work. And then I thought of this lady. It doesn't say good work in this portion, but John 4:39, remember the woman at the well? And the Bible says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" You know what? Our witness, our testimony is a good work. To testify, we should be testifying. That's the point of the good works. The point of the good works is not so everyone says, "Wow, she is a good woman." That's not what we're not wanting to draw glory to ourselves. We're wanting to draw glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. How are they best going to do that? Because they're going to come to know him as their Savior, and they're going to give him glory too for what he can do in a life and how he can change. I want to comment to this. The widow indeed, if you look at her, it's in 1 Timothy. I didn't put that portion there. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 6. I meant to put that. Let me check. 1 Timothy chapter 5, talking about the widows that were taken in. I can't spend much time because my time is flying, but she was a woman that trusted in God. It started out with these women that were taken into the number. I just want you to look at just a biography of this woman and how she was, just a little sketch of her life and some things we could do. So she was a woman of faith. And remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're going to be a woman of faith, we got to be in the word of God. But she was a woman of faith. It starts with the heart and what's in the heart. You're never going to be a good woman if you're not a woman of faith, you're not in the word of God. Then it said she continued in supplication and prayers day and night. She's a prayer warrior. That's another good work that all of us can do. And some may say, "Well, I can't get out of my house. I can't do other things." These are two things you can definitely do, and we need that. My grandma and grandpa, I've often thought, now my grandpa passed away, but my grandma's still living, but they prayed every day for us, and I know my grandma still does. There are many grandchildren, and she names them all by name, and she prays. I'm going to miss her when she's gone, and I wonder how my life will change when I don't have that prayer warrior praying for me. That's something we all can do. Brought up children. It said if she had brought up children. When I thought about that, I don't know that it just means your own children, although as a widow, bringing up your children by yourself is a lot of work. But think about a culture, a third world culture, where children are left desolate. They have no parents. Maybe it means taking in orphans, doing, you know, foster care. It could mean anything, but she's a woman that's willing to take on others' responsibilities when they're left desolate and pick them up and help. She's a worker. Lodged strangers, that's hospitable again. God wants us to be this way. Wash the saints' feet. That's not something we have to do here, but this is something the widow did as well. I think what we can learn from that, and in Ghana, that may be a need still. I know a lot of people wear flip-flops and sandals still, and maybe that's practiced there, but in Bible times, that's why they did that. But what we can learn from it is that we ought to be a servant. As a woman, if we're going to be a good woman, we ought to be a servant. No job is beneath us. No job is too, "I'm too good to do that job. Get somebody else to do it." You know, cleaning toilets or dirty work. You know, we say, "Well, get someone else. I'm the pastor's wife." No. No job should be beneath me. I ought to be a servant. Relieve the afflicted. That's just compassionate. She saw people who maybe had a health affliction or other needs, and she stepped up and she was compassionate and she relieved them. She met their needs. And then it just says diligently followed every good work. That's faithful. So that's just a study in and of itself. And maybe I'm trying to take on too much here, but I'm wanting you to see these women in the Bible and how they were full of good works. So some necessities for a woman who is a good woman. If you'll go down further in Titus chapter 2, let me get back over there. I always have to say Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and that gets me where I need to be. Titus chapter 2, if you look, it talks to the young men, but it goes on, it says a little bit more. It says, young men likewise. So all of these are kind of connected, and I think this applies to us as well. Exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And then it goes on and explains, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And if you drop down to the end of verse 10, it says that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So some things, some necessities for a good woman. If you're going to be a good woman, some things that are necessary. And I want to start with sound doctrine. As we do good works, we have to remember to keep our doctrine right. We have to remember truth. The Bible many times couples truth and mercy. Sometimes people, they want to be relevant so much that they leave truth behind, and we cannot do that. We can't relate to people in such a way that if we can relate, if the only way we can relate is by dropping standards or just not being vocal about the things that God says or condemning their sin. And obviously there's a right way to do that, but we'll just throw the Bible out and then maybe we can reach them. No, what's the use in reaching someone if we don't keep true to the Word of God? And God cares. You know, some people say, yeah, but my heart, my desire, it's what the motive is, and I'm trying to think of a different word here. God knows my heart. Well, remember in the Old Testament when they tried to move the Ark of the Covenant and they didn't do it God's way? God's truth mattered, and a man was killed even though his motive was to protect the Ark of the Covenant. God killed him because he disobeyed. And even in doing good works and the things that we do, we have to remember, we don't yoke up with those who are not with the Word of God. A good woman stays true to the Word of God. We can't go yoke up with people who don't believe in salvation by grace through faith, who maybe are preaching another way to get to heaven. It doesn't mean we're rude to them, but we can't yoke up with them. We have to stick with the Word of God. But as we do this, there's another aspect to that with mercy, and I will get to that. But so I think about, I'm not saying that I'm on the exact same page, but remember just recently with this coronavirus, the man who went, I think it was Franklin Graham, who took all those tents to New York City and set up a huge tent nursing facility to help people with coronavirus. And the homosexuals especially had a huge problem with that because they stand rightly, as the Bible would, against homosexuality. And they wanted to kick them out. They didn't even want to accept their help. But I'm glad that they kept their stance. They didn't weaken their stance. Now, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't take care of someone who was a homosexual. They would have still taken care of them, but they weren't going to soften what the Word of God said. They're going to stick with the truth of the Word of God. So a necessity for a good woman, stay with the truth of God. We don't soften what God says. We're gentle as we tell it, but we stick with what God says as we help others, as we do our good works. We can't throw out these walls and these boundaries that God put in our lives in order to help people. That's my point with that. Then it says sound speech. It also said sound speech that cannot be condemned. We have to remember, if we're going to be a good woman, you can ruin everything you do with a mouth. Mm-hmm. We have to be so careful. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I've known many people who have tried to be a witness for the Lord, and they do have a heart to see people get saved. They're passing out gospel tracts and they're witnessing, but they're nobody wants to listen to them, because if they get angry in the grocery store, they're going to chew people out. They've lost their testimony. Nobody wants to hear them or listen to them because they're rude and they're sarcastic and they're harsh, and people don't want to hear it. And the Bible says if we don't have sound speech, that we're going to cause them to blaspheme the Word of God. And I don't want to do that. Remember, blaspheme meant they'll speak evil of it. They won't want to have anything to do with it. We don't want to do that. And ladies, that is a huge issue with us, and especially as we get older. I've heard many people say, well, you know, I've bowed my time and it's time to speak my piece. You know, everybody else got their chance, now it's my turn. You know, anytime that starts to come out, we better make sure it's what God wants us to say. So we need to be careful. I've never heard someone speak of a spiteful, bitter woman by saying, now that's a good woman. I've just never heard them say that. They're not going to say that. When they say that, it's when the woman is maybe reviled and she answers, a soft answer turneth away wrath. that kind of an answer, people will say, wow, that's a good woman. She should have just laid them out. And instead, she gave a soft answer. And it's not always the easy thing to do. And it's not always the thing I have done. But we've got to remember and we've got to do that. And that's not an excuse or it's just something that I say to my shame. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be careful that my answers and what I say to people, that I'm a testimony so people can hear my sound speech. So a necessity, if you're going to be a good woman, you got to have sound speech. Mercy and compassion are necessities. If you're going to be a good woman with good works, then you've got to show mercy and compassion to enemies, to the foolish, to the sinful. And it's going to take mercy, because sometimes you want to say, I told you this was going to happen. You made your bed. Now you can lay in it. In other words, you were told this was going to happen and you did it anyway. So now you got it. That's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to love them, to show mercy and compassion. Yes, there's a time to say, you know, your actions have consequences, but we also need to show mercy and compassion and love. The Bible says in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. Because he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. We never look more like Jesus Christ than when we love the unlovely. We never look more like Jesus Christ than when we return good for evil. When someone is hard and mean and rude to us, and we return good for that. Heaping coals of fire upon their head, as the Bible says. That's what a good woman will do. Sure, her good works aren't just to somebody that loves her or that she loves. Her good works are to the person who can never repay what she's done. Her good works are to the person who doesn't deserve what she's done. That's what mercy is. Mercy means giving what they don't deserve. God gave us what we don't deserve. We should be kind and loving and generous, even to those who don't deserve it. Humility. I said earlier, no job is too, that I'm no good. Let me say this again. No job I am too good to do. I'm willing to do anything. There's nothing that I say, well, I'm too good for that job. I'm not doing that. And, you know, we need to remember there's no situation in the people that we deal with. Sometimes there's situations that are just maybe more wicked than we could even imagine, than we've ever faced before. We have to remember, but for the grace of God, that could be me. And if we'll remember that, we'll help people and we'll love people, even when they've made a bed of sin and now they're reaping the results of that sin. We'll still love them. That's a good woman when she says, oh, I could be in that same mess if it wasn't for God's grace in my life. And that she'll be humble and loving. Unselfishness. It's going to require unselfishness. If you're going to be a good woman, it's going to require you to be willing to give of yourself. To give of your time, of your resources, of your money. And it requires that. If you're going to do good works, I don't care if it's just baking banana bread for someone. You've got to use your resources. Some of us have more resources than others, but we need to use what God gives us. And we don't need to compare. I don't know. I may say that later, so I'll wait. I think I do. But then it's going to require something else. It's going to require something else. A necessity for a good woman is attentiveness to the needs of others. It is so easy to get focused. I get single focused when I'm doing things. And if you're busy in your home, and there are seasons of life that are more busy than others. And don't be too hard on yourself. When your children are really little, there may be less you can do than when they grow up and they require less of your time. You have more time now to give to others and to give to other good works that you can do for other people. But you need to be attentive. Be careful not to get so focused on you and yours and the things that got to be done in your house that you're not noticing others. If you're going to do good works, you're going to have to be attentive. You're going to have to be observant. I am the least observant person you'll ever meet. I can walk in and not notice something right in front of my eyes half the time. But we need to be observant to see that person who's hurting and to think, what can I do to help that person? To see a need in someone's life or to be listening when people are talking so you're aware of what's going on around you and ways that you can be a blessing and a help to people. It's going to require availability. You know, I was listening to a lady today and she said there was a woman that had a doctor appointment and the pastor called and said, could you find someone to take her? And she called and nobody could take her. Will you take her? No. Will you take her? No. Will you take? And finally she says, Lord, I guess I'm the one for the job. You know, we have to be available. And there are times where we can't be, but a lot of times it could be that we have something we'd rather do of our own And God's saying, be available to help someone else. Be willing to set what you wanted to do aside and help somebody else. You're going to have to be available. I also would say it takes creativity. Sometimes we've got to be creative in how we help people. We don't all have the same amount of money. Maybe somebody, if a millionaire wanted to help somebody, they may not have to think twice about throwing a $100 bill at somebody. The rest of us, we can't do that. So we may need to think, Lord, how can I be a blessing to this person? What's the best way I can do it? Or maybe somebody, you know that they're going to take offense. Maybe they're going to feel like you're treating them like, we call it a charity case, like they're poor and they don't want to accept help, but they need help. My son, when he was really, really sick, he likes to help others. He doesn't like to accept help. And he kept telling people, no, I don't need any help. I don't need any help. And he really did, but he didn't want people to come and help him. He wanted to be the helper. But sometimes we have to find a creative way to get past someone like that and say, I'm going to help you somehow, some way. Show me what I can do. Lord, if they won't tell me, please, you show me something that can be a blessing to this person. So it takes creativity. So these are some things. You're going to have to develop some character traits of just paying attention to other people, being unselfish, being generous, being kind, being loving, letting God work that mercy in you so that you are ready and available and willing when the time comes to help someone. I want to give a few warnings. Don't neglect your husband and children while serving others. Over the years, I've met people that love to help others, but sometimes their own families neglected while they're helping others. It's easy to do. We have to be careful. Don't neglect your family while you're helping others. One lady said every time she would make a special dish, a lot of times, you know, if you're making, someone's maybe in the hospital and you want to do something special for them, you might make something you usually don't make, and your family's like, oh, and you're like, no, it's not for us, it's for them. And you haven't made it for your family in forever. You might just make a little extra for your family if you have the ability to do that. But don't neglect them. Make sure you stay balanced. My children are grown. I may have more time an effort to give to other people right now than someone that has a house full of 5 or 6 children and is homeschooling. There wasn't as much time to do things for others. So do what you can, but don't compare to me and think, well, I need to be doing everything she's doing, or, and I don't need to be comparing to someone else, and I need to do what she's doing, or I need to help in the same way she's helping. We don't all have the same talents. We don't all have the same resources or abilities. If I decided that I wanted to go play the guitar for someone in the nursing home because a friend of mine does that and is very cheering and they love it, they're all going to run the other way when they see me because I can't play the guitar. So that's a funny illustration, but don't try to do what someone else is doing to be good and to be helpful. Ask God, what can I do? What is something that is my talent, my ability you've given me? Make sure your husband's on board. I talked about the Shunammite woman in another lesson. She didn't just go make that room for Elisha. I never did check that out. I think it's Elisha. She did not go just make that room for him without checking with her husband. Make sure he is on board. That way the budget, the time, everything can be from the both of you, and you don't want to be doing things that your husband is not, God would not want you. You're going to be disobeying your husband and the Lord if you do something that your husband doesn't want you to be involved in. So be careful. Don't expect recognition or reward. If you only do good things for people and you only do good works so that people will notice you and so you'll get a reward, well, in the first place, even if they have the opportunity and the ability to reward you, you're going to be disappointed because sometimes they don't even notice what you did. But also, your reward won't, you'll get it here and you won't get it in heaven. Do things. The Bible says to do things for that person that can't return it, and then you get your reward in heaven. That's what God wants us to do. And I already said this, don't pattern after what someone else is doing. You know, getting ideas from someone else. You know, when I first started as a pastor's wife, there were so many things I didn't know. And there were ladies in the church that I learned from. One lady was so good about sending notes to everybody. That never even crossed my mind. Evidently not my mom either, because we just didn't send notes. I mean, maybe a thank you note. Most time we pick up, mom tells me even now, don't send me a note, just call me. You know, we just didn't think of that. But some people like notes. That's something many of us could learn to do. But if you can't do that, do something else. You know, get ideas from others, but then ask God, what can I do with my resources and my circumstances? Think about this too. This is another warning. The Bible says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart gives good things. If the good treasure in your heart gets low, then we need to go back to the source and refuel. Many times, if you're trying to do things for others and you're giving, your source is going to get low. It's going to need refueled. And giving is rewarding. If you do it for the right reason, it's rewarding. I mean, give and it shall be given unto you, God says. But that's God saying that. And but it's rewarding when you help someone and it's encouraging to them. You come home and it blesses you more than it blesses them. But in spite of that, giving and doing good works cannot make or keep us spiritual. That's the outflow. Remember that. If we're going to be spiritual, we need to be in the Word of God. If your service and the good works that you're doing and the way you're helping others is becoming a chore, then you might need to look at whether your activity is exceeding your depth. In other words, maybe you need to refuel. You need to get back in the Word of God. You need to get back to why you're doing things and get back to all God did for you so that you're ready and able to go out and help others. Also remember, we get sick, we get tired. Think about things like that as you're giving and you're doing things. Remember that sometimes you need to refuel just by going and getting some sleep and taking time. But let's be a good woman. We should be known by our good works. God says they'll see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And I've thought about that. You know, why do we want to be good? Well, first, because it said that the word of God be not blasphemed. It also said that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So first off, we have the ability to keep God's word from being blasphemed, but then we can actually make it beautiful. And that's the reason when we are the good women that God created us to be, our Savior is glorified by our good works. Others who maybe won't come to church or won't listen to us share the gospel can be won by the good works that we do. I've heard of, you know, many times mowing a lawn for a neighbor that's mean and rude and helping them in a hard time or making food for them, taking a meal over has softened many a heart and opened the door for the gospel. That's why we're doing it. The old saying, you've probably heard this, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. That's what good works do. They preach a sermon that maybe we aren't getting the opportunity to tell with our mouth. Now, I am not into lifestyle evangelism where all we do is live. We need to speak too. But sometimes you can't even get your foot in the door until they see you care about them. And that's where good works come in. And again, remember, good works at home, then outside the home. The Bible even says that. Let you first learn to, I can't remember the verse, but it talks about doing good at home and providing for those at home before we provide for others. So what is your life preaching? What is my life preaching? Do others desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of the way I live? You know, most of them don't care or even know what we know. You know, I mean, they don't care if you can quote an entire book of the Bible. They don't care if you know every doctrine the Bible ever covers. It's our good works. It's our kindness, being a good woman and showing that we're a good woman in our actions that's going to affect them. So do others desire to know the Lord as a result of my testimony, your testimony? Would other people say, that's a good woman? And I'm not saying that so that we can pat ourselves on the back. Yeah, they would say I'm a good woman. I'm saying that because I'm wanting you to look at your life like I did today. If I died tonight, am I leaving anything behind where people could look and say they saw the Lord Jesus through my life? And the way they're going to see that is through our actions and through the good things that we do for others and the way we live our life. And of course, again, that refers to following the Word of God, being obedient, being chaste, being all those things, but then our actions and our good works to other people. So I just want to leave one last verse, Matthew 25:23. Remember when the man gave the talents, the master gave the talents. He told the one, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The master said, well done, thou good and faithful. God wants us to be faithful in all of these things. If we fail, get up and do it again. But we need to be faithful. Ladies, I hope that we've learned. And as we go through, I hope when you read these words, some certain things come to your mind and you think of ways that you can be discreet, ways you can be chaste, ways you can be good, what it means to be obedient to our own husbands. But let's be faithful. Let's make sure that we are living these every day in our life, in our home, outside the home, and that we're not just, well, we have a really good week, and then for the next month, it's like, what happened to mom again? One missionary lady, they said to her, she had been a bad testimony, and God got a hold of her heart, and they said, did you get saved? You know, she had changed so much, and I loved to hear that testimony, and she was sad, and she said, no, I just wasn't living right. We may need to go to some people and say, I'm sorry. I want to be a good woman. I want to live my life so that others see Jesus in me through my actions and the good things that I do. So let's be faithful every day, serving, giving, loving, obeying until God calls us home. So, okay, well, it's been great teaching you, and I don't know that I'll speak to you again. I'll get the test done with my husband, and we'll see. But if I don't see you again here, you can always message me on Facebook. Ladies, I'll be praying for you, and my husband's already talking about another class, but I don't know if that will be this coming semester or maybe start in the winter semester again, since the fall is usually a busy time for me. But we will keep you posted. We'll let you know. God bless you, and we'll see you whenever.
Okay, so do you have that?